I'm going to get started for now, Be'ezat Hashem. This is more of a whim. I was going to take off this week from giving my regular chabura. It seems most of the guys have, Baruch Hashem. But then Rav Goldberg put out his new Haggadah, and I was very excited, because Rav Goldberg is awesome. And Baruch Hashem, it's selling like wildfire in Yeshiva. And there's a lot of classic Rav Goldberg Torahs here. And he writes in the Hakdama that he's not really here to say anything new, just like the Ramchal says in his Hakdama to Mesilat Yesharim. And in truth, it's a lot of Rav Goldberg stuff. So if you've heard a lot of Rav Goldberg stuff before, you're not going to hear anything new. But it'll be Chazara, just like the Ramchal says. It's Chazara, so this will also be Chazara. Rav Goldberg has a lot of amazing connections and spectacular things that he's able to put together. Very nice, Baruch Hashem. And he always does it with an amazing smile. And Mezar Hashem, he writes, he says, Haggadah is not the time, the Seder is not the time for long derashot. It's the time for explaining everything briefly, to the point, and to address everybody's needs. So we'll be doing the same. So I thought, Be'ezat Hashem, we'll go through this. He's not here and ask me to do this. I'm doing this of my own. And Baruch Hashem, it should go well. You should always feel free, by the way, to jump in. Question, clarification, if it wasn't clear, for sure. I'm happy to answer. Now, Rav Goldberg has this amazing Hakdama. Yeah? Oh.
If you wouldn't mind just referring to a page if you are referring to a specific...
Sure, if you have the Haggadah, so let's inside open the first page together, okay. The first page of the Hakdama together is this amazing Hakdama. I never saw this before, I never heard him say it before. And this amazing Hakdama, on the first page, Rav Goldberg quotes this Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, in Perek Lamed Bet, that he yiel le'el ha-seder. He says, Chacham Kashizadeh is here. The Higil Lil HaSeder, Rav Goldberg writes, Vekara Yitzchak Le'esav Benoah Gadol. That, Shalom Ariel, welcome back to Great Neck. The Yitzchak, the night that Yitzchak called Esav over and said, Aseli Matamim, to make me, to go get that meal for me, Zeha Laila Kol Ha'olam Kulo Omrim Bo Halel. It was the night that the entire world was saying Hallel. It's a very auspicious night. Ve'otzirot tilalim niftachim bazeh alayla. There are troves of tilalim, of berachot, that are opening up on this night. It was Leil Pesach. So go, make me matamim, go make me a meal. A sweet meal, so I, ad shani be'odi avarecheka, so that I can give you a beracha. And then Esav went, he got stuck. Rivka had Yaakov intercept with the same reasoning, says the Pirkei de Eliezer. Ha'layla azeh otzrot tilalim niftachim bo. Ha'elyonim omrim shira. In Shemaim, they're singing Hashem's praises. Ha'layla hazeh, Rivka told Yaakov Avinu, atidim banecha lehiga el mi'ad shi'abud. Your children will be released from bondage on this night. Ha'layla azeh atidim lomar shira. They'll say Shira on this night. Asem atamim avicha atshehu be'odo yivarechecha. So that he should give you the beracha. It's an amazing midrash that Yitzchak and Rivka both saw the kochot of Leil HaSeder, of Leil Pesach. And they both instructed their children to hurry up and take advantage, to make sure that they capitalize on the opportunities of the evening. It's a very auspicious night. We tap into Ad Hayom, we tap into the Berachot of this day, says Rav Goldberg. And he says for that reason it's also very appropriate for everyone, even those who don't have this minhag regularly, to bless their children. Yivarechecha Hashem Yishmerecha, to give their children a Beracha, and for the children to get a Beracha, and the parents also, to tap into the Beracha of generations, of Dorot. Rav Goldberg continues in his Hakdama, that Chayav Adam Leharod Ratzmo. The hardest thing, the most challenging thing, the most challenging aspect of Leil HaSeder is not eating a matzah, which as hard as it may be, is not that hard, or waiting until the right time to start the Seder. It's not eating maror or korech that's so hard or leaning. It's to see ourselves, as the Mishnah says, lirod eratzmo, kilu hu yatzah mimitzrayim, in the next paragraph on the first page. And as hard as that may be, and we don't really know, I don't know anybody who comes out of the Seder and says, I did it, I felt as happy as I was, had I just been redeemed from Mitzrayim. But the truth is, says Rav Goldberg, the Rambam explains, in Perek Zayin of Hilchot Chametz U'Matzah, in Halacha Vav, a well-known Rambam, he changes the words a little bit to clarify for us what we need to do. Shalom Aryeh. To challenge, to explain to us what we need to do, says Rav Goldvich, the Rambam says that v'chol dor v'ador chayav adam leharot et atzmo. A person has to show himself, kiilu hu v'atzmo, as if he himself, yata'ata mishibut Mitzrayim. As if he himself just left the bondage of Mitzrayim in this very moment. We have to not just see it as if we left. We have to see ourselves, to show ourselves, as if we left Mitzrayim. But how do you do that? How do you do that? So I always heard about it. No, you have to look like it, act like it. No, fake it till you make it. Right? As I say, for chinuch has this klal, acharei peulot nishachot al vavot, ha'adam nifal kifi peulotav, and that expresses itself in various mitzvot of the Seder. But if you read the Rambam, says Rav Goldvich, I never realized this until this year. If you read the Rambam, he tells you a little bit more. The Rambam says, shene'emar, otanu hotzi misham v'golmer, Ve'al devar zeh tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us what to do. Ve'zacharta, you should remember, ki eved ha'ita, that you were an eved. Kelomar, ki ilu atah b'atzmecha ha'ita eved, as if you were an eved. Ve'yatzata l'cherut b'nifdeit, as if you were free today. How does that help us? So, okay, very nice. A generic pasuk about being freed from Egypt. How does that help us fulfill this imperative of seeing it as if we left Mitzrayim? Rav Goldvich says, where is the pasuk? Do you know where this pasuk is? It's in Parashat Mishpatim, in the Parsha of Eved Ivri, of all places. Sorry, not in Parashat Mishpatim. It's in Sefer Devarim, in the other Parsha of Eved Ivri, Mechila. But either way, it's in the Parsha of Eved Ivri, the mitzvah is that you should Eved Ivri should be your slave for 6 years. And after 6 years, you have to set him free. When you do business, yesh lanu esek, you have a business, you have a partnership. When the partnership is over, we part ways. Shalom aleichem, aleichem shalom, and goodbye. Doesn't work that way with Eved Ivri. The Torah says, v'chi tishalechenu chopshi me'imach, lo tishalechenu reikam. When you set him free from your home, you don't let him go empty-handed. Ha'anek ta'anik lo. If you've learned Kiddushin, you know full well. There's a mitzvah of ha'anaka, giving him a severance package. Misonecha, umigornecha, umikvecha, from your sheep, your flocks, your grains, and your wine. Asher berachecha, domai lohecha, titen lo. Give to him from what Hashem gave you. Vizacharta, ki eved ha'ita be'eretz Mitzrayim. And remember that you were an eved in Mitzrayim. Ma inyan shemitah etzel har Sinai. What does being an Eved Mitzrayim have to do with giving a severance package? Says Rav Goldvich that you could have just stopped right there. When the business was over and 6 years were up, you could say goodbye. But how, this guy's going to go home. He had a good job, he had a good pay, he had room and board. Now he has to actually figure things out. How is he going to feed his family while he's finding a new job? He used to be a slave. Poel, whatever. If you were in his place, you would need help too. And in fact, you once were, when you left Mitzrayim, and Hashem took care of you. This guy is not just your slave. He's your brother. You gotta help him out. Help him reacclimate. Help him be comfortable in recalibrating his life while finding the next opportunity. Ben Adam Lachaviro, not just to the people that we hang out with the most, but the people who end up being our slaves. To increase in one's Ben Adam Lachaviro, to take care of another Jew because he's another Jew, because he's my brother. Because he would have been Mitzrayim with me too. And he just left his own Mitzrayim just now. Is how we demonstrate that we just left Mitzrayim. By taking care of our brothers. That is how we demonstrate that we just left Mitzrayim. And we merit tremendous beracha. Pesach is a time where we all left. We were all freed from the bondage of Mitzrayim, becoming Avdei Hashem. And Rav Goldvich writes that through this past year of being stuck at home with the lockdowns, Rav Goldvich has been in Eretz Yisrael for the longest amount of time, in the past 35 years. He's been there for a whole year now. He flew off the first, right after we shut down the yeshiva, and he's been there since. Can you imagine Rav Goldvecht, who goes around all over the country, America and Eretz Yisrael, shiur achar shiur, and they're never the same, wherever he goes. He walks into a city, into a town, one Shabbat, 15 different places all across the city, 15 different shiurim, 15 different topics. And now all of a sudden it's lockdown, what can he do? So he sat down, not on Shabbat, but during the week, during lockdown, and he wrote down his thoughts, he wrote down all his ideas. And he created this Haggadah. Ein lecha ben chorin ela mi she'osek v'torah. True, we were locked down last year. Now we truly feel the freedom. But even in lockdown, a true ben chorin, true free person, who has just left Mitzrayim, is one who is totally immersed in Torah learning. And he was zocheh to do that. And with his Torah, he seeks, and we should all seek, to be mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu the king of this world. And it's really a privilege that we have to have such a Rebbe, to have such a Ram, and our Rosh Yeshiva and our Yeshiva, who used to be a Ram in Karen B'Yavne, and he's been revisiting Rosh Yeshiva, visiting still for the past 35 years. He's never been at home in Galut, Baruch Hashem. He brings with him such a Masora of closeness to Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach, to the Garzen, Rosh Hashanah Nechemia Goldberg, Rosh Hashanah Zalman son-in-law, to Rav Amar, and it's amash unbelievable. So, with the time that we have, I want to go through some more of the Haggadah. The Haggadah actually has two parts. I was only zocheh to get through almost all of one of them. The Haggadah Baruch Hashem is two things. This first is a Haggadah Shel Pesach, but it's also Meir Panim on Pesach. Meaning, there's a Haggadah with short ha'arot, and short, because that's the point. You're not supposed to sit down and give a Shabbos Haggadah drasha at the Seder. It's not the time. And it's you're supposed to get through things swiftly, and only Rav Goldvich can do that on what his standard is, 2x speed. I'm also doing that because there's so much to say, but I could speak more slowly too. I should. But also at the end of the Sefer is 9 Ma'amarim, 9 essays Rav Goldvich wrote on Pesach, which, Be'ezat Hashem, I think are more klali, grand ideas, which, if you need something to say on the other 7 days of Pesach, is the place to look. But for the first night of Pesach, and what we're going to try to accomplish tonight, we only need the first half of the Sefer. We're not going to get through the whole thing. My goal tonight, the time that we have, is to get through highlights throughout the Haggadah, not every single point, there's a lot of them, but to highlight a number of points throughout the Haggadah, and try to focus on the ones that really are Rav Goldvich speaking. Meaning, there could be that there are some things that are just Gemaras and Rambams, but I'm not going to work on those. Really, the Rav Goldvichts in the room are the ones I'm going to try to bring out. And hopefully we will succeed. Okay, so first comes first. You know, before we start Kaddish or Chas, we have to talk about the Seder plate. A few things that are noteworthy on the Seder plate for Rav Goldvicht. Number one is the Charoset. Charoset is, according to one opinion, Zecher Latit. We remember the mud that they had to use to make the bricks in Mitzrayim. It was bitter. It was hard work. Backbreaking labor. Vayimarru et chayehem b'avodah kasha v'il v'enim. V'chol avodah v'sadeh. Tosafot quotes the Geonim. He says the minhag is that we use fruits that are mentioned in Shiar Shirim, like Rimonim, etc. But if you think about it, fruits are sweet. Fruits are not so sour. They're not so bitter. Why are we using something that's sweet to represent, to symbolize, to commemorate something that was so bitter and difficult? He explains that with everything in life, there is a seder. There's a process. It's Leil HaSeder. And leaving Mitzrayim was also a process. What was bitter and hard yesterday will be sweet tomorrow. The mitzvah of Sipur Yitzyat Mitzrayim is Balayla. We only fulfill the mitzvah at night. But if you look at the pasuk, it says, Bayom Hahu. V'igad Levincha Bayom Hahu. Bayom? We don't do the mitzvah Bayom. We do it Balayla. The idea is that Balayla your misaper b'Yitzyat Mitzrayim so that it should become Yom. It should be glow with the radiance of the day. From the simcha and understanding of how the whole story took place. It's like having a baby. It's not easy. It takes time. It takes effort. And it can be a very, very challenging experience, especially at the end of 9 months. But afterwards, you have a sweet new baby in your arms. And this is a common motif in the Haggadah, that if you go through the Haggadah, Be'ezah Hashem, you notice a few times where it comes up. After the Charoset is the Beitzah. The egg represents the Korban Chagigah. Our minhag is to use an egg. And of all things, we use an egg to represent something very interesting. I'm sure you guys have all walked in the park and seen birds flying away as you walk close. And it happens to all of us. When animals see us approaching, they flee. With one exception. When they're sitting on their eggs, when they're sitting on their young, they don't run away. They protect their young. The idea being that they know there is potential there, and they instinctively want to keep it safe. Kal vachomer us human beings, who have dat, have to work so hard and should realize that it should be an imperative for us to preserve and harness our own potential. Reminding ourselves of this potential is a reason lachgog, to celebrate. Tonight is the rebirth of our nation. And celebrating that rebirth of our potential is why we use an egg to symbolize the Korban Chagiga.
Rabbi, on Pesach, where it's Erev Shabbat, there is no Korban Chagiga. We still would eat the egg. Obviously, it's on the table. We still eat it.
You see the Iraqi minhag to eat the egg? Do they still have the minhag to eat the egg on Erev Pesach, Shechal B'Shabbat? When Pesach, Shechal B'Motzei Shabbat? Answer your question?
Yeah, but what if it's not the... Is it the
there is no Korban Chagiga? I'm not sure. Right, there is no Korban Chagiga. I don't know if we eat the egg or not.
On Erev Shabbat, there would not be. I mean, we still eat the egg to remember it.
Right. But we still bring it on the table. I don't know if we'll eat it, though. I'm not sure. I don't eat the egg. I Hashem bless me. There are certain things I don't like. I don't like strawberries. I don't like broccoli. No halachic problems already. Baruch Hashem. I don't like those, and I don't know. I also don't like eggs. Not so halachic anymore, but this, I wouldn't know if there is a minhag or not. Got to learn about that. Okay. Be'ezat Hashem. Good question, man. I'm not sure. You have to ask someone who takes the minhag more seriously. What can I tell you? Fine. But the zeroah, the bone we use to represent the Korban Pesach, there's three halachot about the zeroah that Rav Goldberg points out. Number one, it has to be eaten balayla. We say this every day in Ezel Mechoman. Right? It has to be eaten balayla. It has to be eaten sili'esh, roasted. And it has to be eaten b'chabura, in a group. Balayla means, balayla symbolizes how a person, balayla, is all alone. Night is a time to take stock and think about oneself, assess one's actions. Sili'esh, you know, you only roast it in itself, with its own juice. You can't use any barbecue sauce. Any steak seasoning. I know, Matt, you probably have a whole drawer or a whole pantry full of seasoning. But you cannot use any of it on your Korban Pesach. It has to be authentic. And it's a remez to us that we should also be authentic, to be our genuine, be ourselves. And it has to be eaten b'chavura. We always have to seek opportunities to share with others and to see what we can learn from them as well. Now, the matzot on the table, it's true, they're not as tasty as bread, but they also have a much higher shelf life. Much longer shelf life than regular bread does. Regular bread, after a few days, you know, gets moldy and thrown away. Whereas matzah does not. The idea is that bread was left out to become chametz, so its shelf life is much shorter. Matzah, you baked it right away. And because of that, it lasts much longer. Mitzvah bali adecha atach mitzena. You're not allowed to let mitzvot become chametz. You gotta take advantage right away and do a mitzvah, and it'll last much longer than if you wait. Next is Kadesh, we have four kosot. This is very interesting, Rav Goldberg points out. Obviously, we all know, arba kosot are parallel to the four lishonot of Geula in the Pasuk, vehotziti v'itzalti v'lakachti v'ga'alti, and that is parallel to Brit Ben Abitarim, Avram Avinu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there are a few more interpretations, and I thought this was very, very interesting. What Rav Goldberg points out, this is purely a Rav Goldberg. He says, it's the concept of going down to Mitzrayim appears four times in the Torah. The first one is by Yosef HaTzadik. It says, Ve'Yosef hurad Mitzrayma. Yosef was sent down. He was taken down to Mitzrayim. The are on page Lamed Chet, if you're following along. Because this is a Pesukim inside. And then it says, by Yosef's brothers, it says, Vayerdu Achei Yosef. Then Yosef's brothers went down. By Yaakov Avinu, it says, Al Tira Merda Mitzrayma. Don't fear going down to Mitzrayim. And then by the Shekhinah, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Anochi Ered Imach Mitzrayma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he is going to come down to Mitzrayim with us. Rav Goldwich points out how it's parallel. Each cup represents one of those four. Yosef had his mind on HaKadosh Baruch Hu while he was in Mitzrayim. The Dimut Yukno of his father was what had him focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and on Eretz Yisrael. He was the very beginning of the going down to Mitzrayim. That's why he's the first cup. And we drink the first cup at the beginning of Magid. And the first cup at the beginning of Magid. And the brothers, they went down to Mitzrayim united to get food. We drink the second cup right before we eat food. The beginning of the Seuda. Yaakov Avinu, when he came to Mitzrayim, he brought Beracha with him. The famine ended worldwide. There was Beracha in Mitzrayim. And he was Mikadesh Yim Shemayim. What do we do? When do we drink the third cup? Right before Birkat HaMazon. I don't know if it's said by Avraham Avinu the word going down. That's the thing. I have to go check. Also, otherwise it's a good kasha, Matt. It could be a good kasha. You have to double check. And that's why we drink the third cup right before Birkat HaMazon, because only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Zanet HaOlam Kulo B'Tuvo. And finally, the fourth cup is at the end of Hallel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shekhinah came down to Mitzrayim. It was with us in Galut the entire time. And we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what he did. It's interesting. That's why Karpas represents Yosef. Yosef had a ketone pasim, a cloak with so many colors. According to Rashi, it was actually made of Karpas, like it says in the Megillah, Chur Karpas Utchelet, a material, not a vegetable. And it was multicolored, and the Karpas is a, Rabbi Manoach says, is a remez to Yosef's ketonet pasim. It was dipped in blood, so it represents the salt water. And Karpas is the beginning of the breaking. It's what made Am Yisrael go down to Mitzrayim. Bnei Yaakov were no longer Shnem Asar, or Shlosha Asar, at that point. The family was broken, and that's why Karpas is immediately followed by Yachatz, the breaking of the matzah. The role of Magid now is to bring it all back together. We bring it all back together with Magid, and Magid begins. We tell the story about how we're coming all back to from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael. And Magid begins, Halach Ma'anya. Halach Ma'anya. Come. I have some poor quality bread. Let me share it with you. Who wants poor quality bread? Here, I've got some stale, like, I don't know, bagels from like last month. It's half molded. You want some? Excuse me? Thank you. And at the end of Halach Ma'anya, Shana Haba Ba'ard Yisrael B'nei Chorin? What makes you think that? What makes you think that? Says Rav Goldwich, who would you invite for poor man's bread? Obviously someone who doesn't even have that. You have bread. He doesn't have bread. And you're still sharing it with him? That's a guarantee. The next year in Yerushalayim. That's a guarantee that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see it in a good light and will bless us with next year in Yerushalayim. Now on page Mem Vav, Rav Goldwich also points out another amazing thing. I don't know where he got this from. Mamash amazing. That we all try to emulate the Seder that we remember from last year, from our parents, our grandparents. We also have to remember that we're emulating the Seder the way it happened in Sodom. Sodom, there was also a Seder. Lot had a few guests for Pesach. They were the Malachim when they came to destroy Sodom. And if you look in the Pesukim, says Rav Goldwich, you'll find some amazing parallels. It says in Parashat Vayera by Lot, Umatzot afa vayochelu. He served matzot in his home. What does it say in Parashat Bo? Umatzot amorerim yochluhu. Eat matzah and maror. Parashat Vayera. Vayetzei lod aleihem hapetcha. He went to the doorway to bring them in and locked the door behind him. Says in Parashat Bo, atem lo tetzeu ish mipetach beito. Don't leave your house. Stay inside when you eat the Korban Pesach and on Leil Makat Bechorot. Says by Lot, that ha'anashim asher petach habayit hiku v'sanverim. The people outside were struck. What happened on Leil Pesach in Mitzrayim? Ufasach Hashem al ha'petach v'lo yiten ha'mashchit lavol bateim lingov. The mashchit stayed on the outside and killed everybody, but inside the Jews' homes were not touched. Lot went outside to talk to his children, his son-in-laws. Vayomer kumu tzi'u min ha'makom hazeh. Get up and leave. What emotion did Aaron tell everybody? Kumu tzi'u mitoch ami. Get up. As Paro says, get up and go. And finally, Vaylot vayit mama. He wasn't sure. Should he move? Should he not move? He was uncertain. Says Vaychal Yisrael, v'lo yachlu litmameya. They couldn't take a break. They couldn't stop for a second to think. They gotta go. Lot is very characteristic of what we have to be feeling on its, and how the Seder goes. Because Lot knew if he wanted to survive the destruction of Sodom, he had to be like Avram Avinu. What did Avram Avinu do? He opened the door for a guest. And when Lot did that, not only was he saved, he even got the melucha to come from his descendants, leading to Mashiach. We begin the night, says Rav Goldberg, by opening the door, halach ma'anya, and we end the night opening the door for Eliyahu Navi to herald Mashiach. It's very appropriate that we should take these opportunities and realize what is the goal. We're telling a story leading to coming to Mashiach. There is no bracha said on the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzhak Mitzrayim. You know, it's a mitzvah in HaTorah. Chatam Sofer explains, because we're still slaves in Mitzrayim at this point. Only at the end, when we finally leave, at the end of Magid, we say, Asher ga'alanu v'gal rabotenu, that's when we can say a beracha, because that's when we actually feel like Bnei Chorin. There are numerous Tanaim who tell us something or another throughout the Seder, throughout the Haggadah. And each one of them, just like in Pirkei Avot, brings something to the table of his own character, not just with his words, but with who he is. The very first Tana is Rabbi Eliezer. It's very interesting that Rabbi Eliezer is the very first Tana mentioned in Shas. First Mishnah in Berachot. Me'ematai korin Shema be'arvin. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. First Tana in the Haggadah, which is older than the Mishnah, is also Rabbi Eliezer Omer. And you know what? Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer is one of the oldest pieces of Torah Shebaal Peh. It's also Rabbi Eliezer. Why? What zechut did he have? Says of Goldberg, because in Sukkah it says that Rabbi Eliezer said of himself, Me'olam lo kidmani adam lebeit hamidrash. No one ever came before me to the Beit HaMidrash. I was always first. And that zechut, says Rav Goldberg, he was, and he remains always first of all the Tanaim. The Tanaim got together in Bnei Brak. Rabbi Akiva was the Baal Abayit. Why did they go to Akiva? What was Rabbi Akiva going to offer then? Rabbi Lazar ben Azari was the Nasi. They should go to his house. What are they doing in Bnei Brak by Rabbi Akiva? If you think about it, this is post-Khorban. The Khorban just happened, and we all know the Gemara in the end of Makot, how the Chachamim saw the fox running through the Kodesh HaKodashim, and they all cried, except Rabbi Akiva smiled. And the way he saw the Pesukim in Micha, Tzion Saleh Techaresh, V'Shaveh B'Tzdaka, Tzion will be plowed over, he was so happy. And they realized that 9 months later, we have to sit at the Seder and feel like free people after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. How are we supposed to do that? We got to go to the Rebbe who knows how to teach us how to do that. The Rebbe who has a good outlook on freedom. And Rebbe Akiva really does. Charisha, plowing over, does not mean destroying. There's always room to replant when you plow. And we have our sights set on the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash in the future. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. What does Makom mean? We always refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Makom. This is a classic Rav Goldwicht of our Torah. What does it mean, Baruch HaMakom? Makom means, Mazi Makom? Space. Space. Space means, we have a relationship. I give you space, and you come into my life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Makom. He gives us all space. He gives us so much space. Look at Dayenu. All that space that He gave us. 15 different things. Only thing He asks in return is that we should give Him space to bring Him into our life. The Arba Banim, it's not just about knocking out the Rasha. I could say more about this. We're going to be Mikatzer even more. It's not about knocking out the Rasha's teeth. Zevach Pesach Lashem is the answer we give the Rasha, because Korban Pesach is a Korban Tzibur and a Korban Yachid at the same time. Everyone brings the Korban together, they shecht it together, but they eat it separately, individually in their homes. We tell the Rasha, a Tzibur is Tzadirim, Beinonim, Urishaim, Tzadi Vet Resh, Tzadi Vet Vav Resh. We need you there too. You're like the Chelbina. You might stink on your own, but when you were with all the other Samamanei HaKetoret, we spoke at the Ketoret Baruch Hashem a couple weeks ago, all the other incense in the Ketoret, you smell amazing. We want to bring out the best in you, and we need you. Be a part of the Tzibur. Be with us. Yeah.
What was the Vav? You said
Virishaim. Virishaim. Sadikim Beinonim. Virishaim. We need to have him there too. We need to have him there too. Now, there's so much to say. I'm not going to be able to say everything, but let's get a few more amazing things that Rav Goldich said. This is such a beautiful thing. In the part of the Seder that nobody's paying attention to, in the middle of Magid, we're going through Arami Oved Avi, all the derashot of the Seder, and one of the things that we say is, Otot Zehamate. Otot refers to the miracles. That's the staff of Moshe Rabbeinu. Everyone is usually like zonked at this point. Nobody's paying attention. Let's get to Shulchan Aruch already. Let's get to Urchatz and Motzi Rochza and Motzi Matz already. Boro, Bechun, Nechun, read already. Let's go. Right? That's usually this part. This is the most important part after the three things. This is the most important. These are the Derashot. This is Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. We're literally being Doresh to Pisukim. What does it mean? Otot is the Mateh. It's the staff. It's a huge Yesod in Avodat Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Moshe Rabbeinu to inform everybody of the imminent Ge'ula. What does Moshe Rabbeinu respond? He says, they won't believe me. Why? They won't believe me that Hashem spoke to me. What does Hashem tell him? Don't worry about it. They'll believe you. Why? Throw the staff down, throw down your mateh, and it'll turn into a snake. And you pick it up again, and it'll turn back. Chazak uvaruch. How does that tell him? How is that going to convince anybody that they should believe that you sent me, Hashem? Says Rav Goldich, Hashem was telling Moshe, stop asking questions, just do what I say. How do you know? A snake, so it's very zigzag. Staff is straight. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling to Moshe Rabbeinu, if you start thinking logic, intellect, using your senses and understanding and emotions to judge the situation and based on your perspective, it's gonna keep changing. And you're going to look back in retrospect and see how you kept on changing perspective, back and forth, depending on how you saw the situation at the time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani Rishon v'ani Acharon. I know everything. I'm telling you, this is the way to go. When I tell you what to go do, it's straight. You just need Amunah and Bitachon and me. Do what I say, and everything will work out. Not only will B'nai Yisrael listen to you, Paro will listen to you also, and everyone will leave. This is the same mateh that was used to do the makot and to split the yam. This mateh is a symbol of emunah on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elohei Shamayim Va'aretz. The more emunah we have, the more we'll merit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beracha and hatzlacha in everything that we do. Just a couple more points. Tzvardeya, the frogs, Moshe Rabbeinu asked Paro. Paro was in tremendous discomfort. Probably 10 out of 10 with all the different problems that Tzvardeya brought. Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, when do you want it to go away? Paro says, tomorrow. When do you want me to cut the cancer out of your body? I can wait another day. Dude, it's malignant. I can wait. It's okay, I can wait. What do you mean you can wait? You're dying. What do you mean? Everyone's in pain. When do you want me to take the sword out of your arm? Tomorrow. Why? What's Paro thinking? The answer is, Paro didn't really believe in Hashem. Paro knew his magic. Magicians can only control something in the moment. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is real, he can even do something tomorrow. And he doubted whether or not HaKadosh Baruch Hu was real. So he wanted to test Moshe Rabbeinu. So he was put his arrogance, his pride before his people. And he said, tomorrow, let's see if your God even exists. If you want to do it now, you can do it now, but it won't prove that your God exists. Finally, Korech. Korech, Hillel Hazaken, was Ohev Shalom, Rodef Shalom, Ohev Rabriyon Mekarvan La Torah, like Aaron HaKohen. He used to make so much Shalom. He connected people back together, and in Rav Goldberg's words, Chibur, Hu Chiber Otam. He put them all back together. And that's why he's able to take the matzah, the maror, and the charosa and put it all back together. He's mechaber people, the good and the not so good, and bring out the sweetness in everybody. He wrapped the matzah and the maror, the sweet and the bitter together. And it's a beautiful point to end on, how our Rebbe Rav Goldberg is very much like this as well. He gives shiurim to all levels of the yeshiva. And on Shabbat in Yeshiva, he runs from the Neitz Minyan to the last Minyan, giving Divrei Torah in every single one of them. There's a reason why the Sfaradim adore him, because they also understand, you have to love everybody. And Rav Goldberg goes around all over the country, all over Eretz Yisrael, giving shiurim in a whole range of places. No one hashkafa, no one tzibur, no one kehilah. Some places he puts the hat on his kippah suruga, so that people should be more comfortable with him. And in some places, he takes off his jacket so that everyone should feel a little bit more at home. I've seen him literally just take it off in the middle of a shiur just, you know, to be nice and calm and comfortable. And all of that just so that everybody should have, all of Klal Yisrael together, should have a te'ima of the mitikud of Torah. And if we all learn from him and from his Haggadah, we'll be zoche to beracha, simcha, and hatzlacha, mechol ma'aseh yadenu. Chag kasher v'sameach, everybody.